So good morning again. My question to you is, what's the riskiest thing you've ever done? Skydiving, zip line, bungee jumping, try out for a sports team, propose, join a small group, step away from a secure job to go for a dream? No matter the risk, every time we are faced with it, we have to decide, is this worth it? Is it worth putting into practice, even putting all of the practice in, time in, even if I don't make the team? Is it worth interviewing for that job, even if I don't get it? Is it worth the debt to get the degree? Is it worth talking to them, even if they turn the other way? Risk can be good. It pushes us to try new things, to go into new places, to achieve goals. But other times, risk can have serious negative consequences on our health, on our finances, on our relationships. For me, external risks aren't too hard. But I do think some things, like bungee jumping, just aren't worth it. Okay? Go for it. I mean, go for it. I love watching you do that and succeeding. My love is to communicate. And at first it was risky. I remember the first sermon I ever delivered. For me, it was a little risky. To speak with vulnerability in a room of people that potentially could reject me. I mean, this was a license to preach school. So it wasn't like passive listeners. They were after you. They were going to go for you. You know, that's the feeling I had. I had armor on. Or maybe from a theater perspective, forgetting my lines is a dream that has awakened me more than once, and really terrifying dreams, like I'm the only one that doesn't know the words, and sometimes even the wrong play. I'm on the wrong stage. Those are terrifying things. And why is that? Because it's a deep-seated, rooted feeling that the risk I took failed. Just failed miserably. I don't fear new experiences. I don't fear failure, necessarily. When I risk being rejected, that's what I fear. That's when I feel the anxious, sweaty palms, and every time I have to decide if it's worth it. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. We count the cost of risk all the time. When you get into a car, when you get on a plane, when you invest in a home, when you make that phone call, it doesn't have to be death-defying to be a risk, but it has to be worth it to take it. Over the next few weeks, we're going to investigate some areas that require risk in the area of our faith, called worth the risk. These are areas in our lives that require us to do something that may involve a cost. They may push us outside of our comfort zone, or they just may be plain uncomfortable. And we start today right at the beginning, okay? Let's start it right at the beginning. First question, is it worth it to follow Jesus? Is it worth the risk to follow Jesus? As I thought about this, I wondered if God and Jesus ever had this conversation. God says, I want humanity, those who we've created and love, to have access to forgiveness and eternal life with us. But their sin makes this unattainable. Jesus then replies, what's it going to cost to bring full forgiveness to all? God says, the price for sin has to be paid. It's going to cost your life. Jesus says, do you think it's worth it? God says, I know the cost is high, but even one human is worth it. Jesus says, what if people don't choose to follow us? God says, it's a risk we have to take. What if they do? When God gave us a choice, He took the risk that those who love Him, that those He loves would not love Him in return. That was a risk that God took. But He did it anyway. Because why? Because you are worth it. What I've discovered, though, is that many people, the risk isn't Christianity. A lot of people call themselves Christians with no risk at all. Maybe that's part of the challenge in the church today. We have a lot of Christians, but we don't have many risk-taking disciples. Here's what I mean. In the Sermon on the Mount, we learned that Jesus didn't come to invite us to a new religion called Christianity. Those words never came out of His mouth. It wasn't even a word then. He came to tell us and to call us to a spiritual formation, to transformation, That's what he did in the Sermon on the Mount. He was calling us to transformation. He was calling us to spiritual formation. That's where the risk comes in. Risk-taking, transforming discipleship, requires us to make room for him in our lives. It requires us to change habits, to establish priorities, even step out of some relationships. It requires us to face the issues, do the work of healing, and put into action what we say we believe. That's where all the risk is. Doing as he did means living with a kingdom mindset, loving our enemies, walking the narrow road, being salt and light. It means living in community with others without judgment. It's hard, but it means giving God all the glory. It means facing the hard parts of us and laying it before him. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Before any of this can happen, each of us needs to decide if we want to place our faith in Jesus. I know I'm in the presence of a lot of mature believers here, but that really is a decision at one time in your life you needed to make. Can I put my faith in Jesus? We have to decide if we believe Jesus did what he did, and it begins with faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. When sin entered the world, a separation occurred between God and his creation, us, humanity. This separation was caused by sin. God, as a perfect being, cannot abide sin, but yet he loved his creation and still does. So he put in place a way for atonement, to be restored with him. And that involves sacrifice. This was in place for a long time. And finally, God sent his son to be the final and eternal bridge over this separation. There's a lot of time that passed before Jesus. This is always the possibility to be one with God, to be restore yourself to him. But Jesus came as the final bridge. Through the sacrifice of his life, Jesus, who never sinned, paid the price for all who did and will sin. His life opened the door for everyone to step through, but stepping through requires what? Requires faith. When Jesus rose from the dead, he broke the sentence of sin. His death brought forgiveness. His resurrection brought life. His death brought forgiveness. His resurrection brought us life. Eternal life isn't somewhere in the by and by. Eternal life begins now. Through faith you believe. You're in eternity now. It's a free gift. It's a gift. I'm correcting myself. Whenever I say free gift, what kind of gift is not free? If it's a gift, it's free. But anyway, maybe you don't care about that. Here's a gift. Give me $100. Here's a free gift. Anyway. Thank you. Someone laughed. And believe me, you're going to see that on TV a lot. And with this, you get a free gift. You're going to see it. I guarantee you. Anyone can ask for this forgiveness. Anyone can ask for this life by doing what? By placing their belief, their faith in Jesus, and it will be given. Yet, although the gift of salvation is free, a life of following Jesus comes with a cost. So the salvation is free. You owe him nothing for that. But when you follow Jesus, when you decide to live out that faith, it comes with a cost. It's why there are so many Christians, but not as many disciples. We receive salvation, but we miss the cost part when we share the good news of Jesus. The part where Jesus says, you will have trouble. Whatever. Yeah, that's an interesting phrase, Jesus. We're with you now. Everything's going to be good. The Old Testament story has a story of a man named Job. Job reminds us life with God will have some suffering, it's going to have some trouble, and we may not yet get to know why, but we can ask what to do if you want me to know. I think the question from Job applies here. What do you want me to know about following you? He didn't say, get rid of all my pain and suffering and boils and blah, 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 blah. What do you want me to know? What am I supposed to be learning from this? It's such a great question to ask God. Ask him every day. What am I going to learn from you today? And Jesus answers this question, by the way, in Luke 9. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, oh, here it comes, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. You may have heard these verses before. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you need to give up your own way. You need to take up your cross and follow. Giving up your own way seems easy. Until we have to do it, right? We like being the center of our world, honestly. We like control. But to follow Jesus requires us to do what the Father plans and purposes us to do. It means picking up our own cross. See, before a person died on a cross, they had to carry it. You remember that story. They had to carry it on the way to their execution. Taking up a cross was a one-way journey that you didn't return from. To take up your cross daily was Jesus' way of saying you need to voluntarily pick up your inner self and take the one-way journey to sacrifice by dying to yourself every day. Both of these things are hard, and this is where the cost might outweigh the blessing for some of us. Taking up our cross, having my own way, giving up having my own way. It's surrender. It's a hard word. The risk of our giving ourselves fully over to his control is something many have had a hard time doing. Okay, I handed you the sheet, and I'm glad I did because that really is hard to read. But it's an interesting little journey. You don't have to dwell on it. You can throw it away afterwards, or you can study it, memorize it, and impress me. But this is really, it's the process. This is a process of your spiritual journey as you're formed in the image of Christ for the sake of other people. Okay? This is a picture of the spiritual formation journey. You'll notice that you can belong before you believe. Find that interesting? You can belong before you believe. We want people to know that you belong no matter where you are or aren't in your faith journey. All are welcome here to belong. But believing is our first step in the faith journey. We call that salvation. Then we become meaning, we become more like Jesus at that point. It's what Jesus calls us to do, to live a life that reflects his love, connected to others for growth, to connect to others for accountability, and that we seek to live into God's purpose and God's passion in our lives. Becoming is an ongoing process in our growth. Okay? That's the next step. But true maturity and thriving comes as we begin to do as he did, allowing him and his way of living to be fully integrated into our lives. This is seen in how we love, and it again requires the word surrender. The wall you see in this journey is one area of risk on this journey. As we become, we're going to face walls in our lives. And it might feel like too much to face my sin, too much to deal with my past, too much to trust. This is what Jesus was speaking in Luke when he said, lose your life, surrender to what you may not even understand to save your life. As we grow, we'll face wall after wall as God works in us to transform us to be more like him and to do as he does. It can be a high cost for some of us to give up control, to die to ourselves and follow him, living fully into what he teaches us and he commands us and he calls us to do. So what if we looked at this differently? God, what else do you want us to know about following you? To answer this fully would take more time than we have this morning. When we look at Scripture, he tells us over and over what he wants us to know. God would want us to know that everyone who follows him has access to a personal, intimate life with God. There it is. God would want us to know that everyone who follows him has access to a personal, intimate life with God. The creator of the universe wants to help you, walk with you, guide you as you navigate life. He designed you with the desire to know him. Without him, that desire will seek fulfillment in ways that can never, ever fully satisfy. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them." When you love someone, you want to be with them. That's the whole point, right? That's the whole point with Jesus, for sure. That's why he came, to be with us. His love for you is deep. His love for you is high and long and wide. The good, holy Creator God loves you and me. He desires us to be with him. We don't have to be reminded, like my 4-year-old grandson, that he loves us. He loves us. If you need that reminder, you got it this morning. Next, we can receive forgiveness and freedom from the guilt and shame of sin. Without Jesus, this doesn't happen, by the way. It's only because of what Jesus has done that he is able to offer forgiveness. It's not something we can ever do on our own. In fact, in Romans 8, Paul reminds us that, doesn't he? So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. There is no condemnation in him, no judgment. He is fully love. He doesn't hold anything over our heads. He says, when you ask, I remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. With Jesus, our sin doesn't need to have a hold on us. We can break that bondage through the power of the Holy Spirit. What a gift that we've been given. Let's look again at the verses we just read. The freedom is given through the Holy Spirit, but I, for one, don't realize how many people choose not to live into the freedom he offers. I was one of them. I had salvation. I had a call in my life. But I hadn't fully let go of some things. Their hold on me was broken, but I was holding on to them. When I came to terms with what I was holding on to and truly surrendered, I was able to experience the freedom that Jesus speaks of in John. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Forgiveness, salvation is amazing. Eternal life is a wonder. But freedom. Freedom is an unexplainable mystery of the Spirit. Through that, we can find healing. Sin can leave wounds in us. The sin of others or our own sin can become festering places of bitterness. Loving our enemies, forgiving those that sin against us, it's hard, it's painful. And for some of us, it's just too much to ask. Refer back to the wall. Right? Isaiah tells us and reminds us and foretells, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus went through so much that we could be whole, so that we can be able to be healed. This is God's desire for you and me, to forgive, to be forgiven and free, to be whole and healed. And this is the only possible with him. Next, we are adopted into God's family. Loneliness is everywhere. It's one of my great desires, is any people in my life that might be lonely, is that I reach out to them and remind them that I'm here. But I know that you have many neighbors and friends that are just lonely. And I know this sounds like a Pollyanna answer, but when with Jesus, we're able to be adopted into the family of God. It's an antidote for loneliness. But to all believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. That's sort of a balm to the loneliness that runs within many of us. God brings us fully into his family. How? Through Jesus. I guess I had you say that out loud and you could have just guessed and you've been right. The way that we're brought into his family is through Jesus. That's the only way. We belong to him as his own. In Ephesians 1, we're told that God adopts us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This gives him pleasure to have you join his family. Next, Michael referenced this already before. You discover the very purpose you were created for. For we are God's masterpiece. It's glorious. It's not, you're okay, you're not bad. No, you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He had plans for you. He made you, called you a masterpiece. And now that you've been familiar with the Son Jesus and following him, you're going to do the things I created you to do. You are his masterpiece. Yes, we are all created by God, all made in his image. But when we put our faith in Jesus, it turns it up to 11. This turns it up. When we put our faith in Jesus, we discover the good things he planned for us rather than chase after our own plans. We're able to access the gifts of the Spirit he places in us to accomplish his plan. It's a beautiful plan. We gain access to the Holy Spirit. Here's how we do. And this is a gift that we received long ago, that the words of Jesus to his disciples, we can take this to our hearts right now. I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate, another one's be comforter or teacher or companion, but he'll give us another advocate who will never leave us. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. And doesn't recognize him. But you know him. Because why? Because he lives with you now and later will be in you. The world cannot receive him, but you know him. It's only by faith in him that you receive the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned before, the Spirit in us is where our inner strength comes from. He leads us into truth, and he'll never leave us. This is the one who fills you with life, giving power to overcome sin. We can have a joy that is inexpressible and the peace that transcends understanding. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with the confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the source of all hope. He is the source of all joy. He fills us to overflowing with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. A life of hope and joy, a life with confident hope, that's part of a risk-taking disciple's life. So it sounds like it's sort of working towards, it's worth it, doesn't it? In John 14, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. There it is. That's a lot to take in. The cost of being his disciple, the wonder of being his disciple, the cost of surrender to the peace and joy, forgiveness and freedom, lose your life to save it. It's through his love that we find healing. It's through following him that we grow in the Spirit and truth. It's through living other-centered lives, not self-centered lives, but other-centered lives, that we discover our purpose. Maybe instead of asking how much am I willing to surrender to Jesus, which is the cost, you should ask yourself, how joyful, peaceful, and free do I want to be? It's a journey. It's a process that can lead to transformation and growth. Yes, there is risk. The risk of vulnerability, The risk of someone hurting you. The risk of confessing to each other and actually being known and open and honest and reflect and real and authentic. The risk of experiencing Jesus is a new way. And yes, following Jesus costs a lot. It means trusting when we don't understand. It means following him even if it causes suffering. It might mean stepping up or stepping out. It might mean loneliness at times or discomfort at other times. In short, it's going to cost you everything. Only you can decide if it's worth it for you. I know it's worth it for me. Because I want to be joyful and peaceful and free. It's not realistic to say, Lord, I never want to be in pain. I never want to be lonely. I never want to suffer. I never want to have setbacks. But I want to be joyful. I want to be peaceful. I want to be free. So let's pray. And as we pray, let's ask ourselves this question. Are you willing to take the risk and be all in with Jesus? As we pray, let's ask ourselves that question. Ask God in ourselves that question. Be, Lord, we do ask and do realize that if we were running things, there'd be no more suffering. But the pain that sin brought into this world is real. And the relief from that pain is only through a sinless life. The closest we can come to that is being a follower of your Son, Jesus, to reflect his ways and his thoughts and his words every day, so that we take up our cross of self-centeredness and leave it at your feet every day. Lord, I want every one of my friends in this room to experience peace, to experience joy, to experience grace, and finally to be free from the bonds of sin, from the tug of this world. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for your time and our worship this morning, for being here, being present, and reminding us that through you we are saved, but through you we're growing every day. Amen.